Today's daf is Nedarim daf Lamed Gimel. We left off at the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Nedarim daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. So we are going to discuss today the difference between a person taking a neder hana'a versus a neder ma'achal. Because when a person is mudar ma'achal mechavero, it doesn't necessarily only mean food. It probably means, the Mishnah says, it means more than food, but it doesn't mean all hana'a. So we're going to discuss what the differences are exactly and how to be magdir what hana'as ma'achal means. So the Gemara is going to describe that it means anything that can lead you to food. So the Gemara is going to talk about how far removed it can be and still be called something that leads you to food. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah, Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, is going to talk about something that you rent out as being included in any Isra of Noder Mimachal, because you could always rent it out, use the money to buy food. The next Mishnah on Amid Aleph is going to talk about paying back a chov or returning an aveda to someone for whom you have a neder hana'a against. So can you pay back his chovos? He owes someone money, so instead of just giving him the money, you're going to pay back the people he owes money to. Is that considered that he's getting hana'a from you, or you're going to return something that belongs to him? It's his aveda, belongs to him, so is that considered that he's getting hana'a from you? And the Gemara is going to discuss whether this idea that you can pay back his chovos is actually subject to machlokas tanaim, or maybe everybody agrees that you're allowed to pay back the chovos of the guy who is not allowed to get hana'a from you. And then on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, it's going to have machlokas whether you're allowed to be machzir the aveda when the bal aveda's nechasim are usher on the machzir. Meaning when the machzir's nechasim are usher on the bal aveda, then there's certainly no problem with returning the aveda. But what if the owner of the aveda's nechasim are usher on the machzir? Is it called that the machzir is getting hana'a when he returns the aveda to the bal aveda? And we'll discuss why that would be considered a hana'a. After all, he's giving something. Why would that be considered a hana'a? So we'll discuss that when we get to it. So let us begin this parak again, the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Nedarim. The Masifta over here is a very nice introduction to the fourth parak in general here of Maseches Nedarim, and he points out that there are two types of isurim of mudra ana mechavero that are discussed here in the parak. There is where your mudra ana mean nichse chavero from someone's nechasim, and also when it's asked to get ana megufo shel chavero, not someone's property, not someone's possessions, but someone's body, someone's actual physical gufo shel chavero, from the friend, not necessarily physical body, but from him. It's not about his possessions, it's about him that there's a neder ana. So we're going to discuss both of those in the course of this parak, and the nafkaminas between being mudar ana from nichse chavero versus being mudar ana from gufo shel chavero are threefold. First nafkamina would be if the guy buys possessions after the neder happened. So if you said that the neder ana was min nichsai, that the guy's not allowed to get any ana from my nechasim, that's only chal on the nechasim that you already owned. Whatever nechasim you buy afterwards is not included in the neder. But if he's not allowed to get ana'a from me, then whenever I buy nechasim, all those nechasim are going to be included in that neder, even if I buy those nechasim afterwards, because it's not about the nechasim, it's about getting ana'a from me. Second nafkamina would be the opposite. If a person sells his nechasim after he takes the neder, so I take a neder, you're not allowed to get ana'a from my nechasim, and then I sell those nechasim, you're still not allowed to get ana'a from them, because it's those nechasim. But if I say you're not allowed to get ana'a from me, and then I sell those nechasim, so now you're allowed to get ana'a from those nechasim, because they have nothing to do with me anymore. And a third nafkamina is the din of vitor being mutter b'modar ana'a. The vitor is someone lets you walk through his field, he lets you walk through his yard. That's only if you're mudar ana'a from chavero, but not from nichse chavero. If I say you're not allowed to get ana'a from me, so something that everyone lets and no one's makbid about, like walking through someone's yard, that you're allowed to do. But if I say you're not allowed to get ana'a from my nechasim, so then you're not allowed to walk through my yard. There are situations, though, three situations in particular, where a mudar is allowed to get hana'a from the madir, where even though there's a neder hana'a, you're allowed to get hana'a. For example, one situation we're going to discuss is if I'm not giving you anything that's going to make you money, but I'm saving you from a loss. something is about to attack your property, and I'm mavriach hari, I chase away the animal that's trying to attack your property. So I'm just saving your property, I'm not giving you anything, or I pay your chov. You owe someone money, so someone's going to come after you for the money, I pay the money back. So I'm not giving you anything, I am keeping someone away from attacking you. Another case where it would be mutter is if the madir is mekayim a mitzvah, by being mahana the mudar. So I'm not allowed to get hana, you're not allowed to get hana from me, but I'm not giving you hana for the sake of giving hana, I'm giving hana to do a mitzvah, meaning I want to return the aveda that belongs to you, or I want to visit you when you're sick, because it's a mitzvah of bikur cholim. So that's not called that I'm giving you hana. Now why that should be the case, that should be mutter, is a machlokas rishonim. The Ran writes that the heter is because the madir does not have any kavana to give hana to the mudar, he's just having kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah, and therefore it's not considered a maisa hana, it's considered a maisa mitzvah. Whereas Rashba says, no, it was never included in the neder in the first place. When someone takes a neder, he doesn't have kavana to asur dvar mitzvah. Why would he want to do such a thing? Then the third example where it's mutter to get hana, even when there's a neder, is when the madir brings about the hana in an indirect way, not in a straight way, not in a direct way. So for example, I see that the guy doesn't have what to eat, so I go to the storekeeper, instead of giving him money, I go to the storekeeper and I say, this guy that's not allowed to get any hana from me doesn't have what to eat. And the storekeeper realizes, okay, I should probably send him some food, and you'll pay me back for it. So that's okay, because that's indirect hana. So that's the basic introduction to this entire parak. But let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, the only difference between mudra hana mechaveru and mudra hemenu machal, between a neder hana and a neder of food, is ela drisas haregel v'kelim she'inosin be'machal nefesh, is the right to walk through the person's field. If you took a neder of machal against the person, he's still allowed to walk through your field, but if it's a neder hana, he's not allowed to walk through your field, and any kelim that you don't use to make food, if it's a mudar ma'achal, so then he's allowed to use those kelim. But if it's mudar hana'a, he's not allowed to use those kelim, because he's getting some benefit from those kelim, even though it may not be a food benefit per se. The Shalmei Nedarim quotes Machlokas Achronim. What does it mean, hana'as drisas haregel? The hana'a of being able to walk through someone's property. The Bach says, like the Mefarish over here, that laver b'chatzero ulekatzer darko is the lashon the Mefarish over here. That he's coming through your field and it's a shortcut. That's why it's hana'a. Walking's not a hana'a, but it's a hana'a if that's the shortest way. And if not for my ability to go through your field, it would take me a lot longer. That's the only situation where it's considered hana'a. But the Taz and the Shach disagree. And they say that even if there's no actual benefit in walking through the guy's field, it's not going to be a shortcut, it's not going to take any shorter or longer, there's no benefit, it's still going to be called that that you're getting hana'a from the drisas haregel. And the raya they bring is, the Gemara is going to say later on, that if the madir is a chola, it's aser for the mudar to enter his house, because he's nene from the drisa saregel bebeso, and even though there's no kitzur derech, even though there's no shortcuts happening. So that's the difference between mudar hana and mudar maichel. Hamudar maichel mechavero, so the Mishnah continues, someone who takes a neder of maichel, that a food neder from his friend, lo yashilenu nafa v'kavra v'rechayim v'tanur. You're not allowed to lend him your sieve or other type of sieve or mill or oven, anything that's used in food production, because that's obviously included in the neder. Aval mashilo chaluk v'tabas v'talos unizamin. But you are allowed to lend him a shirt, a ring, a talis, other types of jewelry. You're allowed to lend all these types of things that have absolutely nothing to do with food. Now the Ran writes over here, lo yashilanu nafa v'kavru v'chaim v'tanur, itzrich l'misni hani ki echi d'lotez g'daitan d'chiamar d'kelem shosum en mochel nefesh asiri nami b'mudur meichel hani mili k'deira shem evashlin ba. Why does the Mishnah have to give me examples of kelim that are used in food production? Can't I think of my own examples of kelim that are used in food production? A pot, a pan, a plate, a fork, a knife, a spoon. So why does it have to give me examples? A sieve, an oven. So says the Ran, notice these examples are not things that actually prepare the food in their final stages. All of these things are in preparatory stages, so or they don't come in direct contact with the food. So one might have thought that these are not even included in a neder machal because they're too removed from the food. Inami shvut shetzol mabasa avlhani gorim de gorim ninu velishvu muder machal. One might have thought that these are very indirect. This is gorim something that will be gorim food, but it's not actual direct benefit from directly involved with the food, and therefore one might have thought it's not included in the neder hana'a of machal. That's the suggestion of the. That's the suggestion of the Ran. Now, when the Mishnah gives examples of things that you're allowed to lend to him when you have a neder machal, so what did it say? A shirt, a ring, a talis. Rav Yosef Engel and Gilyon Yashas says he doesn't understand why we specifically chose these items. Of any items to choose where there's some sort of neder, why did Dafka choose these items? And you can't say that he chose these items because these are normal things to lend, because on the list is a tabas, is a ring, and the Gemara in Yavama says that men don't lend out rings. Rings are not stam for decoration. When men wore rings, it was a signet ring. It was something that they would use to put their signature. You never lend that out. You would never lend out your signature because the guy's going to sign checks. You know, you don't want that going around. So people don't want forgeries. They would never lend out their rings. So it wouldn't even give the examples of things that are normal to lend out, because that's not what this list is. So Gilyon Yashas leaves that as a tarachion. Why would the Gemara specifically mention this list of items as things that you're allowed to lend out when there's a neder ma'achal from the other person? There is a fascinating discussion in halacha when it comes to the mitzvah of mishloach manos on Purim, whether a person is allowed to send for mishloach manos clothing or any non-food items. Is that also considered to be mishloach manos? So the Trumas HaDeshen in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, it's quoted in the Ber Hetiv in Siman Tav Resh Sadi Hei, in the Siman about mishloach manos in Shulchan Aruch, writes that the whole reason we have mishloach manos is to enable people to fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, that I'm supposed to provide somebody with something that they can use for their su'uda. Therefore, it would turn out to be a hidur mishloach manos to send someone meat, something they could wash on, not like jelly beans, candies, things like that you wouldn't use for a su'uda, but specifically something that they can actually use for a su'uda. And he says, besides, the word manos always means food or drink. And that's what it sounds like from the Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Megillah. The Rambam writes, chayev adam lishloach lechavero shtei manos basar, O shnei mine tafshil, O shnei mine ochlim. What does he say? Meat, cooked food, other foods. So that's clearly, the Rambam says, that it's all about foods. Whereas matanos levyonim, the Rambam says different. He says you give matanos la'aniyim, and you have to give to at least two poor people, but he just says matana, nothing about food. Matanos levyonim could be anything, l'chora. That's the pashto. So when you're going to give mishloach manos, it has to specifically be food. However, there is a tshuva of the Halachos Ketanos in Chelek Beis and Kuf Samach Gimel, also quoted by the Ber Hetev in Tafresh Sadihei, where he discusses if the Mekabel is allowed to, if he's able to sell whatever you give him, clothing that you give him right away, and buy food with that, maybe you could be Yotze Mishloach Manos by giving clothing. Because you'll give him clothing, he'll sell it, he'll buy food, and that's it, and he'll have the needs, whatever he needs, for Sudas Purim. And he brings a raya from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, Ein bein amudra anam echaver lemudra amena ma'achal, el drisas haregel v'kelim she'ein osin ben mochel nefesh. That the mudra ma'achal mechavero is not, if you have a neder that you're not allowed to give someone food, you know what else you're not allowed to give him? A sieve, an oven, anything that could be used to get food. But you're allowed to give him a talis, tabas, etc. Now the reason is because that these things are ana hamevi l'dei machal. Anything that could bring about food is considered like food. So maybe by mishloach manos as well. Ksus or kelim that he's able to sell very easily, that's ana hamevi l'dei machal. That's something that will bring about food. That's the raya that the halachos ketanos has. From our Mishnah, that maybe for mishloach manos, you're allowed to give non-food food items. It happens to be that many Gedolei Yisrael used to send their Chidushei Torah as Mishloach Manos. They'd send Svarim that they wrote, things like that. So, but that probably wasn't really their Ikar Mitzvah Mishloach Manos. That was just their way of, you know, of increasing Torah and friendship and things like that. I'm sure they gave food as well. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that, and Rav Yosef Engel also, Gedolei Yisrael points out that the Raya of the Halachas Ketanos is very perplexing. That he says that the Raya from our Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss on the Mishnah why it's usher to lend the guy a nafa and a kavra, all these food related items, and Rav Shimon ben Lakish is going to explain in the Gemara that we're talking about where he says hana'as ma'acholcha alai. So he said beferish that any hana'a that leads to maichel is going to be a problem. That's why it's usher to give him these items. But if you really just said food, then the halacha would be that you're allowed to give him anything but food. So it's and manos always means food. So pashtus is we pass like the Chumash Deshan. They actually have to give food for Mishloach Manos, not like what the raya is of the Halachas Ketanos from our Mishnah. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Man Tana. So who's the author of our Mishnah that a mudar hana'a is not allowed to do drisas haregel? He's not even allowed to walk through your field. Amar Rav Adi Bar Rava, Rabbi Lazar, he must be like the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Why? What did Rabbi Lazar say? Titanya, Rabbi Lazar Omar, Afilu Vitor Asur Bimudrana. Even things that people don't care about, things that people just throw in for free and no one really cares, no one's makbid about, is still going to be asur for mudra ana. So you know what most people don't care about? When you walk through their field. So Rabbi Eliezer holds, things that people don't care about, that no one's makbid about, is still going to be asur when there's a neder ana. What's the context? Where does Rabbi Eliezer say this? So the Ran fills us in and tells us the context where Rabbi Eliezer originally says this is in certain places, you go to buy a bag of whatever item you're buying, and the storekeeper just throws in a couple extra for free, and it's just something he's not makbid on. He just throws that in, so that's not considered that he's giving you hana'a, because that's what he does. It's not something that he's at all makbid about. It's just what he happens to throw in, even if it's a zvina derami alape, even if it's the kind of thing that he's selling that there are a lot of them available and there aren't so many people interested in buying them. Still, it's not called that that he's giving you any hana'a by throwing in. The extras into the sale. The Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer hold that since it's something that people aren't makbid about, it's not called hana. I mean, Rabbi Lazar is one that says that is called hana, that would be a violation of a mudra hana. The Rabbanon who disagree would say, nah, no one cares about it, so it's not called hana, and therefore, since walking through a field, no one cares about either, that would also not be called hana. You'd be allowed to walk through the person's field. The Ran raises the question, now wait a second, over here it sounds like no one cares about drisas haregel. No one minds if you walk through the field, and that's why, according to the Rabbanon, if you have a neder ana, you're still allowed to walk through the guy's field. But in the third parak of Maseches Basra, Daf Nun Zayin and Beis, the Gemara says that you can never develop a chazaka that you're allowed to walk through someone's field, except for if you have a field that's owned in partnership, where hamada kedi lo kapti, the Gemara says, just standing in the field, no one cares, no one minds that you're going to be standing in the field when there's a partner, when your partner's with the other guy. So I don't care, even though it's my turn to be in the field, or it's my half of the field, I don't mind that my partner happens to be in the field as well. So it sounds like it's only because he's a partner that I don't mind that he's in the field. But if it were anyone but a partner, I would mind that he's in the field. So how can we say that people aren't makbid about drisas haregel? The Gemara over there says that's only true of a partner. It's not true of other people. So the Ran quotes from the Ramban that when we say that it's only a partner that you don't mind being in your field, that's talking about if the guy's sitting there and he's staying there and he's waiting there a while. But if he's just going to run through my field, then it doesn't matter who he is, I don't care. If he's just going to run through, he's going to be in 1 second, out the other second. So then I'm not going to worry about it, I'm not going to care about it. And that's what our Gemara is talking about, where the guy's walking through, drisas haregel, through your field. It's not ha'amada in your field. If it's ha'amada in your field, then a normal person does mind that, unless it's his partner. So we have this machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan, whether people care about, or whether a neder hana'a includes things that people don't care about. Rabbi Elazar says that is included in the neder. The Rabbanan say, no, it's not included in the neder. Anything people don't care about is totally fine. How do we paskin? So normally, if you have a machlokas Rabbanan Rabbi Elazar, you're always going to paskin like the Rabbanan for two reasons. First of all, the Rabbanan are the Rabbim. And second of all, Rabbi Eliezer Shamutehu. We never paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Nevertheless, the Ran over here quotes from the Ramban that paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, that Vitor is Asur, that even things people don't care about is included in the Neder, because our Mishnah we associate with Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. So one of the rules in Halacha is that if Rebbe made a Stam Mishnah out of something, then that's a reason to paskin that way. So that's why we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Hamudar ma'achal mechaver lo yashilem. So the Mishnah had said, if you have a neder of food from your friend, you're not supposed to lend him any food-related items, a sieve and an oven and all those things. So frankly, Gemara, why not? Vamin ma'achal neder. The neder was about food. We finally reached today's daf. Vamin machal neder. The neder was about food. The neder wasn't about all these other things. So why are you not allowed to lend him these other things? Amrav shemalakish ba'omer hana'as ma'achol chalai. It wasn't talking about a case where you took a neder of food. It was a case where you took a neder of hana'as ma'achol. The hana'a of food. So maybe that just means that you're not allowed to take the food, like the wheat, chew it up and use it as a salve on a wound. But that's what he means by anas macholcha. How do you know that it means even kalim that are used in food production? We have to refine it even further. The case in our Mishnah is where the neder was not about food, nor was it about hana'a of food, but it was about hana'a that brings about food. That's the neder. So that's where we're going to say that that it includes all of these items. When neder is hana'a mevilu de machal. So essentially we find in this Gemara three types of nedarim relating to food. There's a neder against food, a neder against hana'a from food, and a neder against hana'a that brings about food. So the Ran points out that that each of these have their own halachas. The Ran writes over here, Ikam mandiyam de bechia gavna asur bein beli isas chitim al gabe makaso bein benafa bein bekavra. He says some say that if you use that third formulation, hana that brings about food, not only can't you lend him the sieve and the oven and all that stuff, you're also not allowed to chew up wheat and use it as a salve on his ointment on the person's wound. But says the Ran, I disagree with that. I don't think that would be included in Hana'a Mevi'a Lidei Machal. Chewing up wheat and putting it on a wound has nothing to do with being Mevi Lidei Machal. He says, this is the way to look at it. If the neder was from Ma'achal, so then it's only eating that's Asr. If the neder was Hana'as Ma'achal, so then it's Asr in eating and to chew up the wheat and use it as something for the wound. But then you'd be allowed to lend him Kalim. But when the neder is hana'a hamevili de machal, there's no issue of chewing up the wheat and putting it on a wound, because that's not hana'a hamevili de machal, but there would be an issue of lending these kalim, the nafa, the kavra, the tanor, all of these kalim that prepare the food. Amar Rav Papa, sackcloth havi peros, v'chamor lahavi alav peros. If you have sackcloth that's used to a bag, that's used to schlep fruit, or a donkey upon which you transport fruit, va'afilu son of Yalma, or even if you just have a basket, hana'a hamevi'a lidei machalhu. That's called hana'a that will bring about food. Even though it doesn't produce the food, it just transports the food. That also, so a food truck, that would be considered hana'a mevi'a lidei machal. So if I take a neder that you're not allowed to get any hana'a mevi'a lidei machal from me, you're not allowed to use my truck. You're not allowed to use my chamor. That's also considered mevi'a lidei machal. So by Rav Papa says, okay, sus lirkovalav, v'tabas liraosba mahu. What about a horse to ride on, or a tabas, a ring to be seen with? What would be the din in that case? Because is that also called something that's mevi'a lidei machal? Because you're using it as a way to appear more chashuv, and therefore people are going to give you better food because people are going to think that you're a chashuv a person. So is that too indirect? You already said that the truck, the horse, the donkey, you know, anything that transports, that's still direct enough to be called nana mivil de machel. What if I'm using the horse to ride on, not because it's transporting food, but because people see I'm riding a nice horse, they're going to give me good food rather than give me lousy food because they're going to think I'm a very chashuv a person. Is that called nana mivil de machel? So mivzak umezel ba'arim mai. Or what about going through the guy's land? Is that considered hana mivil de machel? Because I'm going to go through his land to get to my meal, to get to my food. It's one thing if I'm bringing the food to me, we said that's called hana mivil de machel. What if I'm going to the food? Is that called hana mivil de machel? Says Mara Tashma, we'll bring a raya. Avol mashlo chaluk vitalis nizam vitabaos. The Mishnah said that not included in the neder is clothing and rings and these types of things. Say echidami, what type of items are these? What's the example where these items are being used? Ile mashaloli rose ben. If he's not using them as a way of getting food, he's not using them to show off as a way of getting better food, then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah have to say that that's not included in the neder of machel? Of course it's not included in the neder of machel. Meaning, if I take a neder, you're not allowed to have food. You could use my iPad. That has nothing to do with food. I mean, what is it? Of course it would have nothing to do with food. Elolava filu li ro'os ben. No, it must be that we're talking about where the guy wants to be seen with these things as a way of getting food. V'katani mashilo, and we said it's not included in the neder that you're allowed to lend these things. So you see that something that you can use so indirectly just to appear chashuv, so people will give you better food, that's not called the neder of machal. So that's a raya. Says Gemara, no, it's not a good raya. Lo, liolam shaloli rose. Maybe the case in the Mishnah is not talking about where a guy wants to be seen with these things. Vaidi diktani resha lo yashilenu tana sefer mashilo. Once the resha says that you're not allowed to lend certain things, so the Mishnah wants to mention in the sefer things that you are allowed to lend when there's a neder from machal. But in Achidami, there's no hava amina that you would that these things would be usher to lend, that these things would be included in the neder because they have absolutely nothing to do with food. The Mishnah just wants to give examples because it gave examples of things that are usher, so it gives examples of things that are mutter as well, of things that are not included in the neder as well. Okay, new Mishnah. If you have a neder of food, a neder of machel from someone, so anything that cannot actually be used to produce food, but people use all the time to rent out and get money from, would also be asur, because you're going to take the item, rent it out, make money, use the money to buy foods. That will also be something that's maybe lidei machel. Says Mar Machal the Reisha Avol Pishein Maskirin, makes it sound like in the case of the Reisha in the earlier part of the Mishnah, meaning the previous Mishnah where we said that you're not allowed to lend him the sieve and the oven, all those things. That's even if you don't rent it out, right? That's talking about a case where you don't rent it out. Mantana, who's the author of that part of the Mishnah? Amar Rava d'Bar Rava, Rav Lazari. That must be assuming, like Rav Lazari, like we said before, that it's going like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that even a vitur is asur b'mudar hanaah. Even things that people aren't makbid about, even very tiny things, are going to be included in the neder. Next Mishnah, Hamudar hanaah mechaveru. If someone has a neder hanaah from his friend, shokelo eshiklo, you're allowed to pay his machsa shekel for him. Uporeya, meaning every Jew has to give a machsa shekel every year to the Beis Hamikdash to pay for the karbanos at Tzibur. So you're allowed to pay his machsa shekel on his behalf, even though he's not allowed to get hanaah from you. Uporeya schovo, and if he owes money to somebody, you're allowed to pay back his debts, even though he's not allowed to get hanaah from you. That's permitted. Umachsilo esave doso, and you're allowed to return any items that he may have lost. You're allowed to return for him, even though he's not allowed to get hanaah from you. But if it's a situation where people get paid for Hashavas Aveda, when you're in a place where the minig is that they pay for doing Hashavas Aveda, then that money you're not allowed to keep. You have to, because you're not allowed to get hana'ah from the guy, so you're not allowed to keep that money. You have to give the hana'ah to Hegdish. There is a machlokes rishonim what it means when we say that they would give schar, they would give payment for Hashavas Aveda. The Ran writes that if the machzir, the one who's returning it, has to take off from work and he loses money because he's returning this aveda, he's so busy returning this item that he's missing work time, then the bala aveda has to pay. So that's what it means. That's, when is there payment for Hashavas Aveda? If by doing Hashavas Aveda I'm losing money, so then you should pay me for doing the Hashavas Aveda. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos understands a little differently. He says, no, it depends on the community you live in. In certain communities, there's a reward for returning a lost item. And in other communities, the minhag is that you don't give a reward for returning a lost item. We don't pay people for mitzvos. And you just, they return the item and there's no reward at all. So the Tver Shol, the Mishnayos points out, what is the word makom mean over here in the Mishnah? That a makom that they give schar. So you put that schar, you give that schar to Hagdish. So according to the Ran, makom doesn't mean a place, it means a situation. Because according to the Ran, when do you give schar? When the guy's taking off from work. So makom shenot neschar means not a place where you pay, but a situation where you would get paid, meaning where the guy took off from work. According to the Rambam, it literally means a place, that a place where they would pay, because the Rambam holds that it depends on the makom, it depends on the minag of that place. The Tos Yantav asks on the Shitas HaRambam that they would give schar, that there was some place that they just paid people for Hashavas Aveda. He said, how are you allowed to do that? Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah. How are you allowed to take schar for a mitzvah? Don't we say that mitzvah you have to do for free? Well, since when are you allowed to take money for doing a mitzvah? So he says that a couple of the Achronim deal with this issue. Tiferes Yisrael says that maybe since by Mammon there's a din of Hefker, Bezin Hefker, the Chum have the ability to be Misakein, that you have to pay for something if they think that otherwise it's going to be trouble. I mean, if they think everyone's going to not do Hashavas Aveda, if there's no reward for it, so the Chum want people to do Hashavas Aveda, Hefker, Bezin Hefker allows them to institute that you have to pay for it, even though normally for mitzvos they're not going to, you're not supposed to get paid, but that's a special takana the Rabbanan are allowed to make. Similar to the way they were masaking the concept of prusbul, how Shemitas Ksafim doesn't apply whenever you write a prusbul, so they were masaking that concept because otherwise people weren't going to lend money to anybody else because they were afraid that they would never get paid back. The Evan HaAzel, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, has a different approach. He says that there's no issur to get paid for Hashavas Aveda. The issur to get paid for mitzvos is only about an issur to get paid for learning Torah and for paskening halachos. That's where you're not allowed to get paid. But other mitzvos, who says that there's any problem with getting paid? So he says that there would be no problem with getting paid for the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. That's what the Evan HaAzel writes over here. There is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say someone writes tefillin and mezuzos for a living. So is that called that he's osik b'mitzvah while he's writing his tefillin and mezuzos? Now, normally you do a mitzvah, of course you call it osik mitzvah. But over here, he's doing a mitzvah for which he's getting paid. It's his job. So is that called that he's being osik b'mitzvah? So Magen Avraham writes that if he's doing it to get paid, you can't call that an osik b'mitzvah. So he says, but wait a second. In our sugya, we're talking about a guy who's getting paid for Hashavas Aveda, and later on in our sugya, we're going to say that the guy is going to be patur if he's busy doing Hashavas Aveda, and a poor person comes and asks him for tzedakah, he's going to be patur from giving that tzedakah because he's osik b'mitzvah. What do you mean? He's getting paid. How can you call that an osik b'mitzvah? So the Magen Avraham says, yeah, that's because over here he's not really getting paid much. He's just getting paid schar batala, the amount of money that you get paid to not go to work that day. But he's not really getting paid a substantial amount. But when a guy makes a living writing tefillin and mezuzahs, he's actually getting paid enough to make a living off of. That would not be considered an osik b'mitzvah. Or you could say, now the main reason he's returning the aveda is not because of the money, he's returning the aveda because he wants to do the mitzvah. Happens to be, by the way, he's going to get paid. But people who make a living writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, they're doing it not to do the mitzvah, they're doing it to get paid. By the way, it's nice to have a profession where you get to do a mitzvah all day, but they're really doing it so they can feed their families. They're not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. That's the discussion in the Magen Avraham. Okay, says the Gemara here. Alma avruche ribi almahu v'shari. It sounds like all you're doing is when you pay the guy's shekel, when you pay the guy's chov for him, that's not called that you're giving him anah. It's called that you're avruche ari. You're keeping the lion away from devouring his stuff. Lav dafka a lion. It's just an expression. You're keeping something away that could take his stuff away. So Mantana, who's the author of our Mishnah, Amrav Hoshia, Zu Divrei Chanan hi. That must be going like the Shita of Chanan. We're going to see who Chanan is and what Chanan says and why he has anything to do with our Mishnah in a moment. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, afilu teima divrei akol. Doesn't have to be going only like Chanan. Kabe mudar ana'a diyayiv al menash shalol lefroa. By the mudar ana'a case, we're talking about a case where the guy is, when you're paying back the guy's chov, the guy himself didn't have to pay back the chov. Meaning, if he himself had to pay back the chov, and you paying it up for him is actually saving him all that money, so then that would be us. You would not be allowed to do that. That's called that you're giving him ana. No, his deal, he had a very special loan deal. His deal when he borrowed money was that he doesn't have to pay it back. It was that he should pay back. It's a nice, good, you know, expected almost. But no one's ever going to demand it from him. No one's ever going to come after him for the money. So by you paying it back, all you're taking away from him is his guilty conscience. But you're not taking away any real chov, because he doesn't really owe anything. And even by the case of paying his machsa shekel, the case of the machsa shekel might be where he already sent a shekel, but it got lost and never made its way to the Beis HaMikdash. Where may ikar adin, the halacha is, he does not have to replace it. He feels guilty, so he wants to replace it. So by you giving that shekel for him, you're just taking away his guilty conscience, but you're not actually giving him any money. So says Gemara, my chanan, who is this chanan that we're associating this with? What does that do with chanan? Ditnan, we have a mission as follows. Mishalach leMedina Siyam. A guy goes, we learned this at the end of Masechus Ksuvos. A guy goes to Medina Siyam. He travels somewhere far away. Va'amar echad upirneses ishto. And a person sees that this guy went traveling for months somewhere else overseas, and he left his wife starving over here. His wife's got nothing. So a good citizen, a friendly neighbor, steps up and decides to be mefarnes the wife, to give the wife food, to give the wife what she needs. So can the person who's been supporting this fellow's wife demand payment from the husband or not? Chanan amar ibedes ma'osav. Chanan says, well, too bad, he lost his money. Meaning, it's a very nice thing, a wonderful thing to do, very lovely of him, but there's no obligation on the husband to pay him back. Tosan the Rosh asks, why is this any different, where we say the husband doesn't have to pay back, from what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia? The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that if you go on vacation, and while you're gone, let's say you go to camp for the summer, while you're gone, I go into your house, and extreme makeover, home edition, I redo your entire house, and now it's beautiful, and I upgraded everything, and and you come home, and it's so much better. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, you owe me money for that. Not the amount of money that it costs to upgrade the house, but the amount, some amount of money. It's a discussion in the Gemara, what the amount of money, and at least my expenses in doing it, you have to pay me. So you owe me some money for that. So why is that any different over here, that if a guy is mefarnes your wife without, while you're gone, why is that any different than fixing up your house while you're gone? Why wouldn't you have to pay for that? So Tosfos and the Rosh suggest that in these cases, the benefit that you're bringing to someone by fixing up his house is still there when he comes back. His house is nicer. But his wife, you know, is going to be there anyway. I mean, she just wouldn't have eaten such good food while you were gone. She would have eaten grass or something, but, you know, she would still be alive. She would still be there. So it's not that the results of your actions are still evident in the case in Bava Metzia. The results of your actions are not still evident in this case. But anyway, Chanan says that you don't have any right to get your money back. Nechlik lalav b'nei Kohanim Gedolim. The b'nei Kohanim Gedolim disagreed with him. V'amru, when they say, no, yishava kama hotzi v'yital. Take a shvua, how much you spent on fixing up the house, and then you can get paid for the money you spent. So that's what, and Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanis Kedivrei, Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanis said like the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, that the guy can get paid back not the fixing up the house, from the husband. Fixing up the house doesn't come up in the Gemara, that was just the Rishonim. But it was the case of the husband where you're supporting the guy's wife. So Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanis says that, yeah, you can get paid back from the husband against Chanan. So Chanan is the one that says you can't get paid back from the husband. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yafa Amar Chanan, that Chanan was correct. You cannot get paid back from the husband. He niyachma osav al keren atzvi. You put your money on the horn of a tzvi, in the horn of a deer. You lost it. It's a very strange expression, no? That you say you lost your money. So what does a horn of a deer have anything to do with losing money? So the Tos Yontif writes that its tzvi runs very fast. So if you put your money on the horn of a deer, if you attach it to the horn of a deer, you will not see that money again. You could run and run and run. You're not going to be able to chase him down. Tos Yontif also says maybe it's about the fact that its tzvi is mapil as karnav. he sheds his horns and grows new ones constantly. So you put al karen tzvi, it's going to fall off and it's going to be gone, and then he's going to have new horns. You're going to be looking for it. It's not going to be there anymore. So maybe that's the expression al karen tzvi. Others say that no, that when the tzvi runs, he moves his head back. His horns go backwards. So and therefore, whatever you put there is gonna land on the floor. It's gonna be gone. Whatever it is, it means that you lost the money. You put the money on the Karen HaTzvi. So what did we say? That we wanted to suggest that our Mishnah, Rav Hoshea wanted to say that our Mishnah was only going like Chanan, because Chanan is the one that says that when you go and you support the guy's wife while he's gone, you have no monetary claims against him when you pay his chovos for him. So we see that it's not called that you're giving him anah when you pay someone's chovos. That's like our Mishnah, that when you pay someone's chovos for him, that's not called that you're giving him anah. So Rava disagreed. Rava said, nah, even if you hold like the Rabbanan, that it is called that you're giving the guy hana'ah, but our Mishnah might be talking about a case where the guy didn't have to pay back the loan. And that's why it's not called that you're giving him hana'ah when you pay back his loan, because he himself wouldn't have had to pay back the loan. Right? That was the opinion of Rava. So says Gemara, Rava lomar k'Rav Hoshea. Rava didn't want to say like Rav Hoshea that our Mishnah is going only like Chanan, the Kamokam lel Masnis and Ketivrei HaKol. Rava says, I would rather say that the Mishnah is going like everybody than to lock in our Mishnah only to the Shita of Chanan. Rav Hoshea lo amar k'Rava. Rav Hoshea didn't want to say like Rava, Gzera shelo lipara mishum lipara, because he says, how could you say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the guy doesn't have to pay back the loan, and then you're allowed to pay it back for him, but we'd make a gzera that you would not be allowed to pay it back for him even in that case, lest you pay it back for him when he does have to pay back the loan. So that's he doesn't want to say that ukimta in the Mishnah. He'd rather say the Mishnah Stam talking about where you're paying back the guy's loan, and we're assuming like Chanan that that's not called that you're giving any hana'ah. Then we also said that if you borrow money from if you have a neder that someone's not allowed to get hana'ah from you, you're allowed to return his aveda to him. One opinion says that you know when you're allowed to return an aveda to somebody? When he's not allowed to get hana'ah from you. That's when you can return his aveda. Because I'm not giving him hana'ah when I return his aveda. It's his. It belongs to him. I'm giving him back what rightfully is his. Aval nichse bal aveda asurin al machzir. But if the nichse bal aveda, if the situation was that the neder was in the reverse, that the guy who owns the aveda is the one whose property is usher to the guy who's returning it, then lo kama hadalei. Then I'm not allowed to return it, because by me returning the aveda, he's giving me hana'ah. Why? The commanding lay pruta drav Yosef. Because so long as I'm taking care of that aveda, any poor person that comes to my door and asks me for money, I could say, sorry, busy here with an aveda, I can't help you out. So I'm saving a couple of bucks every time a poor person comes to my door while I'm busy with the aveda. So by me picking up the aveda and returning it to somebody, I'm getting hana'ah from him. What hana'ah am I getting? All the money I'm saving on tzedakah from all those people that are knocking at my door asking for tzedakah, because I'm an osek b'mitzvah. The rule is you're osek mitzvah, you're part from a mitzvah. So I'm osek in Hashavas Aveda, I'm part from anything else. That's what we call Prut Drav Yosef, very important Shas concept. Or Prut Drav Yosef, the money that you would save from the people who are asking for tzedakah. The Charam, the other opinion, says, no. Afilu nechse bal aveda asurin al machzir mahadrele, that even when the nechasim of the bal aveda are asur on the person, the neder is that the person returning it is not allowed to get hana'ah from the bal aveda, still I'm allowed to return it. What about Pruta Drav Yosef? Mishum Pruta Drav Yosef lo shchiach. How often does that happen, that pumped, as you're in the middle of taking care of an aveda, right then an ani is going to come and he's going to ask you for money? This is the major discussion, the major machlok rishonim, that when do we say that an osik b'mitzvah is pata from a mitzvah? Do we assume that it's only when you can't do both at the same time? But if you can do both at the same time, then you're still going to be chayiv in a mitzvah? That's what the Baal HaTos say. The Baal HaTos say you have to say that osek b'mitzvah is patur from a mitzvah. When you're involved in one mitzvah, you're patur from another mitzvah only if it's impossible to do both. Why do you have to say that? Because right now we shouldn't have to limp Torah, and I shouldn't need tzitzis on, and I should, because there's a mezuzah on the door, so I'm being yotzei the mitzvah mezuzah, so I shouldn't need to do anything else. Or if I wear a tzitzis, I shouldn't have to do any mitzvahs all the rest of the day because I'm doing a mitzvah right now. So the Balei Hatos say it has to be that osek mitzvah is only patur from a mitzvah when you can't do both. The Ran says a little differently. The Ran says, osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah is even if you can do both, but it's not every moment that you're getting a mitzvah. I believe in Hashem right now, so I'm getting a mitzvah. No, it's not every moment that you're getting a mitzvah. It's every moment that you're osek in a mitzvah. Osek means active in a mitzvah. Only while you're actively involved in the mitzvah. And that machlokas is, based on how you understand that machlokas, you have to figure out why it is that Pruta Rav Yosef is lo shchiyah. The Ran would say, it's not common that while I'm actively involved with the Aveda, what does it take? You pick up the Aveda, you put it away, every once in a while you make sure it's still safe and protected, but it's not common that while I'm actively involved in the Aveda, just then is when the poor person is going to come. Tulsus will say, it's not common that a poor person is going to come and I'm not going to be able to do both, to take care of the Aveda and give him money. So that is the major machlokas, Ran and Tulsus, about Osig Mitzvah Patim Minutz. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Amdal and Ralph tonight.